The gospel we just heard is the church's choice every year for this second Sunday of Easter, because it's the ideal passage to teach us the nature of Easter faith, Christian faith. And we have Thomas, the apostle. He's the best example of the kind of doubt that just about all of us feel from time to time. He is Thomas the Apostle, one of the 12. Scripture calls him Thomas the twin, Didymus. Tradition tells us he is Thomas the martyr. He died for his faith. But every generation of Christians usually referred to him as Thomas the doubter, doubting Thomas. Probably because most of us can relate to this incident, this attitude of Thomas in the gospel. He hadn't seen the risen Lord, and he refused to believe it. Within every church, in every land, on a typical Sunday morning, there are always a significant number of people for whom the faith is one large question mark. Some of the great figures within the Bible, as well as some of the greatest saints and heroes of our church, have wavered between faith and doubt at various times in their lives, like a metronome. And so if you doubt sometimes, you are in good company. You are not alone. More than half the world is probably a Thomas. Perhaps half of every human heart has some doubt in it. Sometimes we just don't know. We want to know. We want to believe. We want to believe that it's all true. There are other times when we find ourselves just wishing it's true. And in our darkest moments in life, perhaps not even caring whether it's true or not. Oh yes, Thomas, we know you well. And the same is true of priests. We too need your faith. We need your prayers. I'm a pilgrim, just like you. A man on a journey. One who struggles at various times to believe and to grow in faith, just as you do. And the Eucharist is a good example. I remember my very first Mass. This was 47 years ago, when I consecrated the bread for the very first time. This happened in a small, ancient church near the Forum in Rome, where I was ordained. There was a little more nervousness than I expected. And then I uttered the words of consecration over the bread, over the host, for the very first time. And I paused, and I'm not sure what was supposed to happen, but it seemed like nothing happened. There was no peal of thunder, no quivering of the altar. There was no burst of light. Nothing visibly happened. And yet, everything happened. The Lord was there. He was present. He had come as food, as nourishment for my faith and the faith of those who were with me. And I believe what helped me that day was the presence of the other people there who believed. People who had known me all my life, like my parents and my brother, aunts and uncles and cousins. They believed. And that helped me believe that it had happened. I think many people are not always aware of how important you are to a priest's faith. How your belief, your example, your inspiration in the things that we say and things that we do supports and sustains our faith. Then we in turn can support and encourage your faith. You see, we need each other. For we all doubt. We all have questions. And it's wise for us to understand that some of what we doubt ought to be doubted. Maybe even discarded altogether. Like any childish notions we may still have about the nature of God and how God works. We see it. For many people, God is still like a policeman or a judge or some kind of Santa Claus. An arbitrary old man in the sky. Someone who's mad at us. That's why our prayers aren't answered. Those are childish notions that we need to let go of. Many people try to live and answer the problems of adulthood with a child or an adolescent's understanding of the faith. Doubt can take many forms. Sometimes we can be overwhelmed by the absurdity of suffering in this world. Our faith can also waver because we're not living up to it. Or because we allow it to be choked by the cares of the world, the delight of riches, the desire for many, many things. Our faith can also be weakened by having made decisions that are contrary to what we know is right, contrary to our convictions, our conscience. Our vision of God may also be obscured by some inward trouble, by our being unable to love other people, by bitterness toward someone or something, even hatred of a parent or a former spouse. All of these may work against faith. Doubt. And the disarray of faith takes many forms and has many causes. What can we do about it? I remember a time when we were told not to think about our doubts, they'll go away. Let's take care of ourselves. Some of us may even have been told that doubt is a sin. It's not. Sometimes we need to just think deeply about our doubts and our questions. Let our mind ask the questions that we need to ask. Doubting is not a sin. We didn't see Jesus condemning any of his disciples for not believing right away. Certainly not Thomas. And doubting is not always destructive. In fact, it can lead to deeper faith when it's approached positively and creatively. When we seek out new information about our faith. When we actually pick up a book and read something about our faith. Or when we are led to discuss our doubts with someone who just might know a little bit more about these things than we do. Or when we are moved to pray more fervently for strength that we need. We must not fear our doubts. Neither should we withdraw from the community of faith when we have them. It's unrealistic to think that we can grow in our understanding of our faith by cutting ourselves off from the people and the places where answers can be found. In fact, I think there's something dishonest about doubting and never making any effort to seek the information or the persons who can help us in our doubts. I hear it all the time. I don't come to church because I have doubts. Well, have you ever discussed them with anybody? There's something dishonest about that. We should remember, too, that all doubts are usually temporary. They do go away if we work at it. Sooner or later, we can be led to deeper faith. You know, it's as simple as this. We decide to believe or not believe. We decide that something is true or not true. Either way, it's a decision. It's a matter of faith. For example, you can't scientifically prove that God exists, but then you can't prove he doesn't exist. Either way, you take it on faith. We choose to believe. We choose to believe what makes the most sense to us. Thomas, for example, chose not to believe his hopes. Instead, he decided to believe his fears. Many of us do that. We need to turn to the Lord in times like that, turn to one another. We know that from the Gospels, St. Peter did not instantly have faith like a rock. He faltered. He doubted. He even denied the Lord. But he grew. And his faith grew. And eventually he believed and even died for his faith. He grew. His faith grew. And so can ours. This is called Divine Mercy Sunday, an important day in the Easter season. We are Easter people. The risen Lord is in our midst. And I've come to believe that he understands us better than we understand ourselves. He understands our hearts. He even understands our doubts. And to all the Thomases in the world, our Lord utters his final beatitude in this gospel. Blessed are those who have not seen, and yet they believe.